Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Data Patterns (India) Limited Q3 FY26 earnings call hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Monali Jain from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Data Patterns (India) Limited call to discuss the Q3 and nine-month FY26 earnings. We have the senior management of the company on call: Mr. S. Rangarajan, Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Venkata Subramanian, Chief Financial Officer. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore viewed in conjunction with the risk that the company may face. May I now request Mr. Rangarajan to take us through the company's business outlook and financial highlights, subsequent to which we can open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Monali. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us for the Q3 and nine-month FY26 earnings call. I trust you had an opportunity to review our earnings presentation available on the stock exchanges and on our website. FY26 is shaping up to be a good year in line with our expectations. Our order book has reached an all-time high of 1,868 crores, largest in the history of Data Patterns, underscoring our strong execution capabilities, deep domain expertise, and growing relevance within the defense ecosystem. Order inflows during nine-month FY26 and till date have remained healthy and well-diversified across services and applications, reflecting increasing customer acceptance of our products and solutions. Key wins during the period include large production and development orders for electronic warfare suites from ECIL and the Ministry of Defense, further strengthening our position in high-value mission-critical programs. Our export order book remains healthy at approximately 63 crore, and export continues to evolve as an important pillar of our long-term growth strategy. We are actively involved, engaging with our customers across the international markets while strengthening our export-focused marketing and business development activities. We continue to execute regular business from the U.K. and expect export momentum to improve further as our complete system offerings mature. We believe this strong momentum is sustainable. The recent Union Budget has also reinforced the government's long-term commitment to defense modernization and indigenization, with a meaningful increase in capital procurement. The sharp rise in allocations for other equipment, including radars, electronic warfare systems, missiles, and advanced electronics, clearly signals a focus on new-age defense technologies. This aligns extremely well with Data Patterns' core strengths and long-term strategic direction, positioning us favorably for future growth. Let me give you all a brief overview of financial performance. During Q3 FY26, we delivered a strong quarter, with revenue growing 48% year-on-year to 173 crores, supported by improved execution across defense programs. On a nine-month basis, revenues increased 86% year-on-year to 580 crores, reflecting a meaningful scale-up in defense-led execution. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 78 crores, up 44% year-on-year, with EBITDA margins sustained at a healthy 44%. Profitability remained robust, with PAT rising 31% year-on-year to 58 crores, translating to a net profit margin of 34%. Overall, we're pleased with the quality, consistency, and resilience of our earnings. In addition, we're pursuing co-development activities with global defense majors, particularly in radar and electronic warfare domains. These partnerships are aimed at developing solutions not only for Indian defense requirements but also for global markets, enabling us to leverage our competencies on a worldwide scale. We're also engaging with Indian large corporates to build an Indian defense ecosystem. We have partnered with Bharat Forge to bid for the AMCA production and are one of the three shortlisted to get the RFP. We're also attempting to develop other electronic systems to strengthen the Indian content with Indian IP, with Indian large corporates, in line with our GOI stated objectives of Atmanirbhar, besides providing a competitive edge to our partners. We are actively involved in developing the smart cockpit and vision systems for LCA Mark II, which we believe will be adopted for M cars. We are also offering the advanced sensors like infrared search and track and missile approach warner for LCA Mark II in partnership with the European partner Made in India content. Strategically, Data Patterns is steadily transferring from a subsystem supplier to full systems and solution provider for the defense sector. Our focus is not limited to any single platform or application. We are actively pursuing opportunities across radars, electronic warfare, avionics, seekers, and other mission-critical defense electronics, and we selectively undertake strategic contracts that offer long-term relevance and scalability. We continue to invest ahead to offer strategic systems with in-house IP, meeting user timelines, which will give us a competitive edge. Our internally funded development are advancing well and should be offered to the users in the coming years, which should scale our revenues. The long-term goal is to scale revenue meaningfully for the next 3 years while maintaining high profitability, technological independence, and selective global expansion. Looking ahead with strong policy environment, rising defense allocations, increasing indigenization, and a clear shift towards advanced electronics and systems, we believe Data Patterns is well positioned to benefit from long-term defense spending. We remain committed to delivering 20-25% revenue growth for the medium term, maintaining healthy EBITDA margins, and preserving our net debt-free balance sheet. With that, I will now request Venkat to take you through the financial performance in detail.
Thank you, sir, and good morning, everyone. I will take you through the key highlights of our financial performance for the quarter and 9 months ended December 31, 2025. Q3 FY26 revenue stood at 173 crore, registering a strong 48% year-on-year growth, driven by improved execution across multiple defense programs. Revenue for 9 months FY26 increased sharply by 86% year-on-year to 580 crores, reflecting significant scale-up in operations and sustained execution momentum during the year. Production contributes highest to the revenues at 57%, followed by development at 37%. EBITDA for Q3 FY26 stood at 78 crore, up 44% year-on-year, with EBITDA margins maintained at healthy 44%, highlighting the strength of our operational model. For 9 months FY26, EBITDA grew at 42% year-on-year to 178 crore, supported by favorable execution mix and operating leverage. Net profit for Q3 FY26 was 58 crore, up 31% year-on-year, translating into a net profit margin of approximately 34%. PAT for 9 months 26 stood at 133 crore, reflecting 23% year-on-year growth, despite quarterly variations in execution mix. Gross margins remained strong during the quarter, reflecting the high-value nature of our product portfolio and strong in-house capabilities. Overall profitability continues to remain healthy and resilient. Working capital remains well-controlled, and we continue to focus on efficient execution and prudent capital management. With the record order book, strong execution visibility, and disciplined cost management, we remain confident of achieving the full-year revenue and EBITDA margin guidances. That concludes the financial highlights from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Amit Dixit from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for the opportunity. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. A couple of questions from my side. The first one is going back to the EBITDA margin. I mean, 46.5% is a number that no other radar electronics company has achieved in the world, possibly at this point in time. While you highlighted in the prepared remarks that it is on the account of favorable execution mix, but what we see in the execution mix that there are, you know, avionics is coming, there is EW system. So, I mean, it's all about the our core platforms that are coming to fore that seems to be sustainable. So just wanted to understand that what kind of EBITDA margins do we expect, given that these are your focus areas in the future as well?
See, EBITDA margins is a composite addition of various contracts executed during the quarter or the year. So it will depend on, you know, the competitive scenario, plus what products we are really doing and how much of it is designed by us and how much bought out is going to be there. What you see when the EBITDA margins are higher, the gross margin, more importantly than EBITDA margin, will be in products which is completely designed in-house. Why is that higher? Because the building blocks, which some of the companies import, even including large corporates outside India, then they build the overall system based on the building blocks imported or bought out. Whereas we actually design the building blocks, work on a raw material cost, and write off the revenue expenses on the year of development as part of our P&L. So when this adds up and we use our own kind of building blocks into end systems, the cost margin goes up. But you need to keep in mind that we have done all the development and the cost attached to it has actually been written off. If you were to not do that, then the EBITDA margins will probably be much lower. So that is to answer this. And then generally, we try and address markets based on our strength of products rather than compete in every area where we buy and sell or trade or integrate alone. We do not participate in such contracts. We participate to build IP and those contracts where we are, there's a lot of DP content, that is where we participate. So largely, the EBITDA margin should be similar to what we've been presenting till date. Of course, there will be changes because some of the systems, there has to be integration happens. And like trucks have to be brought and things like that on a system level. In those contracts, the EBITDA margin or the gross margin comes down. And consequently, the EBITDA margin comes down. I hope I will manage your question. It's not a straight answer because the EBITDA margin is a mix of so many things as part of the execution of various kind of contracts we take up.
Quite clear, sir. The second question is essentially on exports. Now, looking at the current EU-India FTA and the possibility of some of the big bang deal happening, particularly on Rafale, and there could be some reciprocal element to it. While I don't want to go into that, the point is that we have made a good foothold in export market now with PAR and all, and export revenue is 9.6% in this quarter. So just wanted to get a sense on what all products we are kind of seeing a good traction in the export market and how this EU-India FTA is going to help us. So from an overall perspective, from a macro sense, if you can give us some picture on that, sir.
The opportunities are fairly large in the world market today. Earlier, India used to be a low-cost country sourcing for the world market. What we have done, what we are doing is actually IP-driven products. So there's a shift in what we do and what typically is imported, especially in the defense scenario. But off late, because the spend in the European markets is going to go up due to geopolitical environment, I think there's an opportunity for us, companies like us, who have strong IP-driven product development capabilities, participate and address some of the needs where they will be spending. They need to do a lot more work in the export market, go meet people, talk to them, invite them here. All this has to happen. So we've already started doing this before the FTA was signed. And there has been some considerable traction with a few companies. and they've shown very lot of interest in what we're doing to see whether this can be deployed or used or modified for their requirements in their avionics and other areas of operation. We've started getting RFPs from them, and hopefully this will all turn out to contracts going ahead. So these are early days. We need to actually do a lot more work in the export market, put a team together, and drive the export market on a consistent basis to see that 2-3 years down the line, we have a steady business which can scale. We have competitive advantages in terms of competencies, which is world class. Second, our cost of development is far lower than the cost of development in Europe. Third, since everything is done in-house, more than what the large corporates do there, because they rely on a lot of subcontracts to do it, we're able to bring an economy of scale and cost to them. Fourth, the time frame which we can deliver, they're just astonished that we can deliver these things in a time frame which they never imagined is possible. And they like that, especially because they have a need, and the need has to be unaddressed, and they're not able to actually deliver to their customers for a few years, and we bring in that additional strength to see that deliveries can happen early. On top of that, we are also willing to co-invest in some of the product development which can be used worldwide. This is also of interest to them. And since we have raised money and we have money in our kitty, we can co-invest in not just looking at Indian markets, but also world market as we go along. So there's a multi-pronged strategy on exports, which we need to formulate, and we are thinking about it, put a team behind it, and start this activity probably next year early to see that some traction happens and export is possible. We are also attempting to do such similar things in the US markets. Now the trade agreement in the US is also done. The duty structures have come down. So I think we should be able to get some early wins and all this. It'll take some time because it'll be early wins for where they get used to our culture, our quality, process, et cetera, because these are all certified programs. And once the confidence comes, I think the scale can happen much faster than what we can do in India. So we are seized of the opportunities. We understand it. So we are very excited about the opportunities that's happening. And especially it fits our kind of development capability we've done. We're about 1,100 engineers, recruiting another 150 this year. So we're building a competency skill which will be useful in these areas. Earlier, the opportunities were not there. The opportunities are opening up now. I hope we are able to address the opportunities satisfactorily and grow the business.
Great, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, please restrict yourselves to 2 questions. If you have any more questions, you may rejoin the queue. Our next question comes from the line of Hardik Rawat from IIFL Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and very, very congratulations to the management team on your robust quarter and healthy growth and inflows. So my first question is with regards to the inflows themselves. So the PPT and the press release mentions that, you know, orders negotiated, which are not awarded as on date, stands at about 11 billion rupees. Just wanted to understand, you know, when do you expect these orders to be received and what could be the broader mix between, you know, development and production within this? Any large orders that you'd like to highlight, which is within the orders that are negotiated?
I think these contracts should happen in the next 1 to 2 months' time because these are only document work which has begun and signed. So I think next 1 to 2 months' time, we should, these should get converted into contracts. This consists of a large portfolio of products, some in the development area. But again, like I said in the earlier question, we've taken up contracts which is in the core competency area of data patterns. So it is more of redesigning what has already been designed for a different application, airborne application. That is one of the larger orders we've got, which you should be getting or signing. And it's in line with our competencies. That's all I can say at this point. I don't want to get into the exact nature of the contract. Once the contract comes, we will be able to discuss it more in detail.
Yeah. Fair enough, sir. And, you know, with these orders coming in, you know, we could possibly be looking at an order book of about, you know, 18 to 19 billion whenever they come, which will be very sizable. And like it was mentioned in the PPT, the highest ever for us. What would be the execution cycle, so to speak, for this order book?
Again, it varies. There are service orders as part of the contract, ANC, etc., which will be done over the many years. The order deliveries itself, some can be delivered next year, some year after next, etc. Again, it depends on the contract. There are multiple clutch up contracts which add up to this 1800 crores. So, very difficult to say exactly. I have not done the arithmetic to see that. We will be doing it now. But these are not the only orders. We also expect to sign more contracts in the next 2 to 3 months' time. Probably another 500-600 crores of contracts which can get signed. And during the course of next year, we're also looking at a number of single data contracts based on what has already been designed and developed. That also is expected. So the order book is expected to grow. And we are trying to see whether advanced action on design, advanced action on production can happen so that we can, you know, scale the business substantively in the next coming years.
Right, no, sir. One last question would be with regards to the working capital cycle. While you mentioned in the opening remarks that, you know, it's been fairly contained, could you please put a number on that? And in addition to that, you know, our cash on hand is at the lowest in the last 8 to 9 quarters. Could you also please delve a bit into what kind of receivable cycles you're looking at within that NWC side?
Can you repeat the first question? I couldn't understand it.
So you mentioned that working capital has been largely contained. If you could put some number to that as to what kind of working capital days you're looking at. And secondly, our cash balance is at one of the lowest levels in the last 8 quarters. How are you seeing the situation, and do you expect some even larger receivables that are sort of materializing in the near future?
I'll ask the second part of the question. Venkat will ask the first, answer the first part. The debtor situation has been extended, but we are expecting all the cash to come in the next 3 to 4 months' time. And that will again, take care of the cash on hand situation which you talked about. There are some large development contracts you have taken the last year, and year before last. And they are in the final stage of acceptance to customers on integration. And once that is done, we expect the money to come in. These are large value money which will be coming in, which will recharge our cash battery. So that is going to happen in the next 2-3 months' time. The maximum of 4 months' time, I think, should collect all the money. So this is one. The other one regarding working capital, I think Venkat will answer this question.
Yeah, see, working capital, it was around 428 days in March. It has come down to, we have not published the balance sheet numbers for December, but internally it has come down to 340 days. And we expect it will be remaining at the same level by March end also. But going forward, once all the collections happen, this will improve. And as we have been mentioning in our earlier calls also, over next probably some 3 to 5 years' time, it will gradually come down to 270 to maybe 300 days. That is the working capital cycle that we are expecting in line with our expectations only. Collections on development contracts is getting delayed, but the production contracts, we are able to collect it faster. So we expect maybe around 270 to 300 days of working capital cycle going forward, sir.
And we also get advance against all these contracts to help us. So the net borrowing from banks is actually zero.
It is not.
We only work on bank guarantees. Non-fund limits is what we're working on. That is also the second point. Third is, we've taken very large development contracts last couple of years. And all of them have very high potential of multiple times getting into production orders, which can be a few thousand crores each. So we've selectively participated in programs that will give us long-term gain on a large scale, which is what the company is actually working towards, the whole organization working towards scaling up technology. So it's in line with what we're expecting. And this working capital is going to be large. It's larger than because of development contracts.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Dipen Vakil from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. And congratulations on a healthy execution.
Sir, my first question is relating to the order inflow. So, sir, we usually mention that our order pipeline is close to around 20-30 billion in next 18-24 months. And considering that we are looking at a strong order wins in fourth quarter, would you like to update on the order inflow guidance going ahead, as well as to what we are seeing, especially over, one is overall order inflow and another is on the recurring side of what kind of recurring orders can we expect going ahead?
I won't comment on the recurring orders, but I can comment on the order pipeline. Products we developed now, we can expect another $2 billion-$3 billion of order pipeline and capability. Matter of fact, in a couple of years, I think it should go much beyond that, if what we think won't happen. Of course, we have no control over the market and the timing of when the contracts come, because it's the government, all my business is the government. But the products we have developed and how it's been appreciated by the customers, and the quality and the reliability of the product, and the advanced nature of technology which is part of the product. The requirements which we have quoted against and got the development contracts are all large value contracts going ahead. Multiple systems required across India. So if this fructifies, our order book situation should scale up multiple X times in the next couple of years, 3 years' time is what we expect. We've been driving the product development activities towards scaling substantive revenues, and we are on track at the present moment. We're still work in process because the orders have not come. The products have been delivered, but in our minds, it should turn out to be large contracts going ahead. This is one. Second is, with our initiation into export markets also, we believe that this also should take off and start giving us some in the repetitive business you talked about, probably another couple of years down the line, both in civil aviation as well as defense equipment. We're working on both sides with few companies. We can scale up the number of organization and get the initial dive-ins and initial products inside. I think the next 2-3 years, we will probably get repetitive business outside India. Here in India, mostly it's project-based, so we're not able to predict repetitiveness. Though we get into AMCA program and LCA and some helicopter programs and all of them, there is a plague by delays on deliveries from our end customers. Back to back, our product deliveries also get delayed, acceptance get delayed. But in a mature market, where there is a need, there is predictable business is what we expect. Whatever orders we're getting from U.K., it's a predictable business. They give you a long-term order, which is monthly deliveries. We want a part portion of our turnover to at least be that, so that we can regularize this ups and downs and unpredictability in the market. We would like to do that. Strategically, I think that's necessary. So we're working both ends of the spectrum to see that we don't miss out on opportunities in India, but also bring in some repetitive business in the foreign markets. We're working on both. It takes a bit of time because these are opened out just now to us, and we have to focus. We've been looking India all through our life. Now our focus is also shifting to for India, out of India, along with the concentration in India. So we are aware of the opportunities and are aware of how to scale this business and guided by our goal. I think we are on the right track, and we're very excited about the opportunities lying ahead.
Got it, sir. So that's very encouraging. My second question is on the BrahMos side of it. So in this year also, major order received, we are looking at missiles from BrahMos. So is it like a new product? And any update on the seeker trials that were ongoing from BrahMos?
We've completed the seeker trials. We've got a development contract with marginal differences, which will go into production orders. We'll be delivering it in the next 1 or 2 months' time, ahead of schedule. And I think we've done a good job in the product development. It's a reliable product. Once that is done, we expect BrahMos start giving the production orders. We've also gone ahead and ordered the equipment for production testing. So that will be arriving in the next 3 or 4 months. So we can set up a line for series production, with month-to-month deliveries can happen, starting 2026, 2027. And this is one area we've done. Second is, other than BrahMos, we've also done a missile higher band seeker. That is also in advanced stage of delivery, development and delivery. We expect some repeat contracts there. We want to focus on this kind of seeker capabilities with other OEMs to see whether we can use this for other OEMs, modify it for other requirements also. So seeker should start. We can't put a timeline, but what we hear is it should start by this year onward, this calendar year, that is financial year, 26-27, we should start getting production orders.
Got it, sir. So congratulations on the Brahmos order. It was a long awaited one. I'll fall back on the queue for further questions. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sriram Kapoor from Jefferies Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I just want to ask on your order flow. So last quarter you mentioned in your press release that you had about 550 crores worth of orders negotiated but yet to be received. This quarter our order flow was about 240 crores. And you've also mentioned you have about 1100 crores worth of orders negotiated and completed. So just wondering, 300 crores from that last quarter's number has spilled over and is part of this negotiated orders? And that's for clarification. Could you give that?
Actually, I've not done this calculation the way you're asking. Maybe you can write to Go India and we can write back to you. I'll do the, let me look at the order what was told last year, quarter and this quarter, and see whether there's an overlap or already it's been received. Let me do this exercise and get back to you.
Sure, no problem. And just on the timelines of these orders, so you mentioned 1100 crores, you're expecting this in the next 1-2 months, and the other, in your presentation, you've also mentioned another 500 crores on top of this, right, which could also come this quarter. So are we expecting, you know, around 1600 crores worth of orders this quarter itself, or could some of it spill over to next year? Just wondering on timelines.
It should happen this quarter.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Aman Soni from Invest Analytics Advisor Advisory LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes. Just be a little louder, Aman, and go ahead with your question. Thank you.
Hi. Is it fine now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hello. Yes. Sir, most of my questions are answered. Just one clarification on this industry-wide shipbuilding capex happening over the next few years. So how does management assess the addressable opportunity here? Like any of our product categories falling into that opportunity, sir?
We've not actually addressed shipbuilding as such. We work on equipment. And we've not done any development on the platform management system, things like that, bridge management system, so many other things on the ship. Traditionally, they've been importing, and there are companies who actually focus on it many years. We've been actually working on sensors quite a lot, and we've not done so many work on that. What we are trying to do is some of the upgrades for Navy. We're trying to offer our electronic warfare suites, some of the radars, etc., and see whether those opportunities can be addressed. Presently, we are engaged in this kind of line of things. We've not actually looked at new shipbuildings. We have, of course, made some offers, but we've not got the contract, though we have a lower sport. For example, TACAN and some things goes into ships, tactical air navigation systems, things like that. We have products for these kind of things. We've not yet got orders. So we may probably have to pursue such contracts, but at the present moment, we don't have anything which we can say is going to give us some regular returns.
Understood, sir. Secondly, on the export part, you are very bullish on export, as export will provide the better revenue visibility, as well as you mentioned to one of the participants. So going ahead, like currently it is 9-10% of our revenue in this quarter. Over the years, how much percentage of export do you expect to the overall top line?
Very difficult to answer that question presently. What's happening is our Indian revenue model is increasing year to year, and it's going to be substantive increase is going to happen in the next 2-3 years' time. So I don't think the export will keep in pace with that kind of increased revenue in the domestic markets. The focus is in Indian domestic markets. But we do, over a period of time, maybe 3 years down the line, we have to build an export business which is sizable. Then we can talk about numbers, which is meaningful. Today, it's very difficult to talk about this. But to answer the other question on the shipbuilding not there, we're also working with some foreign companies, see whether we can do Indian content for modernization of gun control, radars, IRST, that is infrared search and track, etc., which are modern sensors and fighting equipment necessary. And our ships have got old equipment. There's a requirement to modernize these kind of ships. The advantage is that if you can get in, of course, it takes time to prove the system on the ship and then get the inquiries, and it's a two-year kind of time frame or maybe more. Once you get in, there will be a number of ships which needs upgradation. That will give you a regular business year on year. So we're working on some kind of programs like this where a lot of Indian IP is there, but we don't have all the applications in various areas for which we will get partners. That application orientation they have, we will use and manufacture in India, but the main part will be designed by us in India. So the IP content is still retained, and that will be based on our core competency already developed. So we are addressing the market in different ways. I have not projected all this. These are all potential business, but not projected because we are not sure when it will happen. What the size of business will happen is not sure. But like this, we are attempting a number of programs which can come out of the core competency, which is being product competency built by us, and can be used in various kinds of platforms. That is why in the opening remarks, I said, they are not platform specific. We can do a number of platforms. The capabilities are IP generated, can go to very, very many platforms. We have to go through the end, go through the process, go through certifications, qualification, install the systems, and see where it goes to bring in scale, which is what we want.
Got it, sir. And one last thing.
Sorry to interrupt, Aman. Those were your two questions. I would request you to fall into back into the queue. Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Jyoti Kaur from Nirmal Bang Securities. Please go ahead.
It is not Jyoti Kaur. It's Jyoti Gupta. Good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I wish you swift recovery and great health and great set of numbers. Wanted to ask, this sudden increase in your revenue, any specific orders that have been delivered, if you can elaborate? And second is, what is the status on fire control radars? Do you expect any orders coming through in the next couple of quarters, or what is the status that you anticipate in the future?
Answer the first question. It's not sudden orders. There have been delays in getting the orders. It's got delayed very badly. We expected it to happen much earlier. Because of some process, it's got delayed. Bunched up now. So it's not nothing sudden. This all started work 2 years back for all these contracts. Suddenly we don't get orders like this because it's so this is not sudden. Second is, the fire control radars are still in development stage. It's going to take some time before this can realize order potential. So you've taken money for PAB money to invest in large development activities, which can give substantive revenue business, probably 15,000 crores of potential revenue. One is the fire control radars. Second is the modern EW suite, which include the potted jammers and the radar warning receiver and the ensuing kind of subsystems. All of this is contemporarily designed by us. Matter of fact, as we speak, there are, the users are in our office actually testing some of the products, demonstrating the products which is already been designed. So these are all on track, but it will take time. But what happens, it happens. You're talking about the order book, which the requirements are about 10,000 crores. That is why the development cycles are also going to be long, but we have to certify it in the air, put it in quite early. This will all happen over the next 2-3 years' time. But in the next 2-3 years, we have to continue with what we're doing. See the order book scales, the revenue scales, and we meet market expectations and our own ambitions to be a large corporate in the shop. So this is the path in which you're going. We're building products for maybe 4-5 years down the line, which will come into large orders. So we have medium-term, short-term kind of targets and a medium-term target. A long-term target. We're trying to see how to address all of them based on and build products. See, the important thing is build products. India is bereft of products because we've always been importing products.
Correct.
So we want to build products in India, increase the total addressable market, and then compete. There's no point in my saying 3 lakh crores is going to be spent in India on defense capital because we cannot address those 3 lakh crores.
True.
So we have to look at more what is addressable by us. And the addressable market has to be increased so that we have a percentage gain in this, which can be competitive capability, etc., etc. What do we need to do? How to address the market and be ahead? Is that we need the modern worldwide world class systems. So the attempt is to try to increase our TAM, and that's what we're trying to do with products. But it'll be deep products, which is world class and highly reliable. So the focus is developing such products, and Pipe Cronus is the radars on such products. We're also seeing that with the international company coming in CityCars, they're also excited with some of the other products we're doing. And they also have some obsolescence. So we look at their obsolescence upgrade programs also and redesign the products already designed by us. So the Indian suit the end customer requirement. That also we are on the job, which is also on the same core competencies, we build multiple solutions, which can also help us reduce risk and also give repeatable business going ahead.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sukrit Patil from iSight FinTrade. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Good morning to the team. My first question is, looking ahead, how do you see Data Patterns balancing between expanding its order book, ensuring timely execution of defense projects, and maintaining profitability? As the defense electronic space evolves with newer opportunities and customer requirements, what will guide your decision-making process on where to place the strongest focus in the coming years? That's my first question. I'll ask my second question after this. Thank you.
Oh, it's a bit not very clear question. Can you put it in fewer words so that I can answer the question? Because you talked about defense and modern electronics, and reliability and all that. This is what we're doing all the time. But I didn't understand the question.
I'll just rephrase it. I want to understand how do you decide when growth through new orders should be in the top of the list, or when execution discipline or margin protection becomes more important. Basically, what is the thought process behind shifting focus as the conditions change?
Be very clear about contracts which we pursue. We want to build a profitable company. They're not going to be going after the revenue business. It has to be bottom line driven business. We're very, very clear about it. We've always been doing that. It has to be IP driven. It has to differentiate. And it has to allow us to build more products. Because without bottom line, we won't have the money to build additional products and scale the company. Yes, it's a longer, harder work. There's no easy way to it. But over the last 30 odd years, we've been doing that. And now that the foundations are built and deep skills and product capability has been built within the company and infrastructure built, we don't see why we should change this to suddenly go into revenue business model and see that growth happens for revenue business at the cost of bottom line. We think that is not the correct thing to do, especially for the DNA of our company. This is one. Second is the opportunity in India is scaling up substantively. And the scale up is happening and looking at making India as a mandatory requirement. I think it supports the way we have been thinking about Make in India. Matter of fact, the last 20 odd years, if you come to our office and give exhibitions of ours, we always have a byline Make in India with pride. So we take pride in our products. So because we take pride in our products, it's a reflection of what we are. We believe it has to be world class, it has to be reliable, it has to be world standard. So we try to attempt quality standards to that extent. And by it. We continue to go with the same DNA and our approach. We're not going to change the approach. And this approach is going to give us huge benefits going ahead. So how do I scale the business if it's going to be only bottom line? We quote or invest in products where there is large market available and the gaps are there. In the scenario of Indian markets, there are gaps which is not filled by others and probably filled by foreign company, OEMs, international OEMs. We try to address those gaps and try to replace those gaps with Indian products at a much lower cost and also see that if we have it customized to the customer requirements much faster ahead of time. And the support, which is going to be obviously much, much better, designed and made in India, will give you long-term support. and we invest ahead to see that the products are available when the customer requires. Yes, we take a risk of doing such things, but we want to differentiate ourselves from others. We build the products, and we incrementally building the products with core IPs. So our risk that way is also protected or not very high. So this is our DNA, and this is how we want to continue to do business. And I think that we are at the right time at the right place, not only for Indian context, but also international context. So we don't have exposure to international business. We'll make attempts to see that our presence is there, and we start slowly scaling to international business also. But Indian focus is going to be the way we are. I think the scale is going to happen by itself, and we are in the right track with the right products, and I think scale will happen.
Thank you. Participants, please restrict yourselves to one question. If you have any further questions, kindly rejoin the queue. The next question comes from the line of Santosh from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Congratulations on great set of numbers. I just have a couple of questions. You didn't mention the TAM of about 15,000 to 20,000 crores. What is the TAM from that, and where do you see those orders dispersed in terms of timeline?
I didn't understand the first part. The second part, timelines, is probably another 3 to 5 years. What is the first part?
Okay. So what you mentioned, the TAM is 15 to 20,000 crores. And what is the serviceable addressable market from that?
When I say addressable market, TAM is serviceable market. 15 to 20,000 crores or much beyond that. If you take variants of what we develop to okay. other programs outside India, it'll probably go more than 20,000 crores. So that's the reason we're putting deep money in the larger development cycles, seeing that we address the market with a product which is not available in India.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vikas Desai from Serene Alpha Analytics LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, Vikas.
Yeah.
Hi. I want to understand from you, although you addressed this question related to this to the earlier participant, on the current competitive landscape, particularly in our product category, as I am seeing many players are now speaking about radars and EW space, spending on the R&D and the product development. I agree that we are ahead in this journey, but going ahead, if the competitive intensity rises and ultimately it is a tender-driven business, so how do you see in the terms of protecting our margins in the medium to long term?
We need to differentiate ourselves from competition. That's the only way we will get differential treatment. That's one. Second is, though there are a number of companies talking radars and EW and all that, they're not developing all the portions of the radars. There's still, it has to be a collaboration, or a number of companies have to do piece parts to build a system. It also makes it more complex to build a complete system and offer a system as a system before without contract. It has to be more as to tender driven and component or subsystem driven, where they become lowest quote in each of the subsystems and then try to get the parts. That doesn't give you a flavor or a competency to build the entire system. We went through this exercise about 15, 18 years back and decided that this is not going to scale the business. We need to build IP and build all parts of the system. So it's taken this time, build it, get reliability, and build that competency. So we are now here, what we are. Yes, competition is nimble and capable, and they will catch up, or we will probably be even better than us. But we need to see what the landscape is and how we're doing it, and address the landscape and see what we're doing there. But we want to get the early buy-ins. Once the early buy-ins come, a number of years, the contract is protected. So we will look at opportunities like this, get an early buy-in, and see how we remain ahead of the game. And this is what we need to do. We have to be watchful, build competencies which is differentiated, and address the customer requirements better than others, and be competitive. So coming back to the bottom line is the last portion which I look at today, because I compete in almost all contracts in DRDO today. We can do everything what electronics DRDO wants. But we don't do this because, for the exact reason what you said, a number of other competitors and subsystems who want to go for the L1 business to get a handle in those areas. We don't want to prove ourselves again and get a handle and go that path and you know, put our efficiencies and our bandwidth in such programs. I'd rather focus the bandwidth and build end products which can scale substantively going ahead. So we differentiate the contracts. We choose contracts what we want to build on and try to go after contracts which we think we want to do and be competitive there. So it's a question of strategy, how we want to scale the business. And we are clear about what we want to do. And look at opportunities individually. Look at whether it is going to be strategic to our thought process of growth, or it is going to be one of those systems where you'll be only L1 to keep our engineers engaged. We don't want to keep our engineers engaged at this present moment. They're already engaged. Everybody is working 7 days a week. So we will differentiate based on tenders. In the meantime, we'll build without tenders. We'll build our own products. Be ready for future orders as and when it happens. We believe it will happen.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Aman Vich from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. My question is on the seeker side. So when you talk about 1500 crore kind of order expected in next quarter, you are not including seeker order, right? That production order will be after that. That is one clarification. The question is also the
I'm sorry to interrupt, Aman, you're not quite audible. If you could change your location.
Is this better?
Yes, much better. Go ahead.
Yeah, sir. So my question was on the seeker business. So when we talk about 15 billion kind of order inflow for quarter four, we are not including the seeker production orders. Is the understanding correct? That is the clarification I want. And the question is also on the production line we are setting up. So you talked about other than BrahMos also, we are looking at other seekers. So we are setting up like maybe 15-20 seekers a month line or smaller or a bigger line. That is on the seeker side question, sir. And one final question on Sukhoi upgrade also. So given we are doing pods and other things, so is it safe to assume including everything, it's like maybe a 300 crore per plane opportunity for us? These are the two questions I have.
Okay, the seeker business production order is not included in the next few months out of the book. So that is not included. Point question number one. Question number two is there is no requirement for 20 seekers a month from the present contracts. We won't put infrastructure to do that. We have infrastructure plan to address customer requirements and deliver ahead. But as and when the requirements go up, we can also scale up our infrastructure quite quickly. Since everything is designed by us, even the test equipment is designed by us, we can have anything can be scaled up quite quickly. And we have the infrastructure done. We are also putting up additional factory, which is going to come up in the next 1 to 2 years' time with a large space available for production as well as design. So we are continuously investing in infrastructure, CapEx, to see that we are ahead of the game, delivering ahead of the game, so that we continuously do it. This is on the first part of the seeker business which you talked about. And the second part you talked about is a Sukhoi 30 upgrades. I don't think at the present moment we're looking at 300 crores because, see, these are upgrade programs and there's no contracts. We're actually going, building the products, going through certifications and immediately, directly on 100 kind of seekers or 250 seekers, 250 Sukhoi 30s. I don't expect government to place orders for all of them one shot at 300 crores per aircraft to an organization like ours. So initial contracts which has come to HAL is about 84 aircrafts and their value is anyway published. We're trying to see whether some part of it can be done with whatever pods and whatever you talked about. And as and when our content on the things go up, because it's not very simple to get content on aircraft because we're a private sector, and information on, you know, HAL would like to do a lot of this themselves, that it's going to be very difficult to get the content as we go up. So we are taking an opportunity where gaps are available, address the gaps, and we're going to see when the confidence of the user builds up, we can get more content, then increase our scale for aircraft. This is what we're doing. Other than that, pods, separate inquiries are going to come for 100 pods, etc. sets. That is separately also happening other than the 84 is cleared for HAL. So we look at opportunities and then we will be able to say what kind of numbers we can put inside. Present moment, it is definitely not 300 crores.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Jaykant Kasturi from Bandhan Alternates. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Good set of numbers. Sir, I remember in term, just a while back you talked about the civilian side, especially with now that we have seen news coming in from HALS now, apart from the fighter aircraft, they are now considering being on the civilian side of the aircraft. So what kind of opportunities do you see in that, any in terms of some electronic products, or what is the kind of addressable market do you see in coming 2 to 3 years? Yeah.
It's very early stage. We can't comment on it now. We're exploring opportunities and trying to work with one or two OEMs to see whether we can do some products for them. It will take some more time, maybe a year or 2 years or 3 years, 2 years before a predictable revenue model can be told to market and investors. These are all exploratory kind of business that you're doing. The intent is to get into civil markets because volumes are much, much larger in defense. And it's a month-to-month capability. And once we bring in the requirements, scaling can happen quite quickly. The very large scale, the numbers are very, very large. And also, cash flows are very different. So, as part of business initiative, it is necessary or mandatory to see that we scale in this area. So, we are doing some exploratory work in this, but not to give you any data at the present moment.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vishal Seth, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
This is regarding the Uttam AESA radar, which is developed by LRD. My question is, you know, whether this Uttam AESA radar has data pattern any role to play in it, and is it a competing product or a complementary one to our existing product line?
At the present moment, what a Uttam you're talking about, we don't have a role to play. So it's a very similar product we've designed. And we're looking at partnership with DRDO or LRD to see whether we work with our radar as against working only with Uttam as a second alternative. We don't know how it goes. If it doesn't happen, we go alone and try to build the radar directly for Air Force. Both options are open. It depends on how the alignments take place. But presently, we don't do anything in Uttam.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Nishant Chauhan from Geojit Financial Services. Please go ahead. Nishant, please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible? Yeah, am I audible? Yeah, hi, sir. Earlier, you mentioned something about AMCA, sir, that we've been shortlisted for the next round. So, sir, any timelines to watch in terms of what happens next and how far are we from the prototyping stage and everything? And the related question would be, should one completely ignore the scope of HAL into this program as of now?
No, this is what is published I'm talking about. I'm as knowledgeable as you are because you have not told us anything. Maybe Bharat Forge will know a bit more than us. But regarding HAL participant, I think they have not been selected, down selected to the three to receive RFP, what I hear. Regarding timelines, what ADA is saying is 3 to 6 months, the contract will get placed. You have to go by what they say. I have no inside information to say anything different. And then the program is on. Whoever gets the contract, program is on. The details of the program, the RFP details is not yet published. So I am not liberty to say anything. At the present moment, even if they are published, we will be signing an NDA, so I won't be able to talk about it.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Akshay Jogani from Exponent Tribe. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. And congratulations on a great set of performance. Sir, I wanted to continue on the Brahmos speaker page. You know, every year, what we hear from the, what we see on the internet, that we make about 100 odd missiles and we increase the capacity to 160. Assuming that we increase the capacity, the seeker requirement would then also be 150. What is our sense of the share of wallet that we get, do we think we can get all of the 150 to make in the, as we get the production orders, or we think it will be like half of it? And hence, what is the kind of capacity you are currently working with that you want to add? Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not, first is I don't have knowledge on how many of the missiles actually get fitted with seekers. That based on the contract from customer to BrahMos, and we are not privy to such information. What I can say is the inquiry comes to us, what the order comes to us, we can only talk about it. And here say on the scale, what I hear is that the requirements are large because it's a successful missile, and they are planning to buy more of them. Some more are being exported also. So we need to go with whatever they say, and I have to go with what RFP I get and contract I get. I can't talk about work share between us and somebody else because I don't have any idea really what it is. We will be able to tell you what we get orders, and what we hear is that the requirements are large. That's the present extent of my knowledge.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that would be the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for their closing remarks.
Thank you all. Thank you for tuning in to for the Q3 9-month presentation call for the investors. As we have been saying during the question answer session also, we are very committed to building scale in this business. The requirements are large. The government is giving us a lot of opportunities. And largely, India is still importing very major sensors and technology products and systems. We want to address that portion of the business and see what is it we can do in India and how the IP can be more and the Indian content can be more. Our government also says that large portion of this is to be made Indian made. That will also enthuse us to see that we invest more. Obviously, investment and development happen when the contracts happen and business happens. I'm happy to say that the business, whatever we designed in the last couple of years, getting into the end stage where we expect some very large contracts to happen in the next 1 to 2 years' time, which can rapidly scale up the company's business. Once we do that, I think we'll be in a different scale to probably address larger markets and as we going ahead. We're also looking at not just India, like I said, we also look at export. We give a three to five-year kind of horizon to see how to scale that business model and go. The third portion is also build an Indian ecosystem with large defense contractors in India to see whether partnerships can be done, poached. It's not easy, but we're going to make an attempt. We've started with Bharat Forge. Let us see whether what we get out of this. It's all, of course, long-term. It's not going to be short-term. But any development in defense is a long-term program. But this will be build the foundation to scale up later. As far as the short and medium term, I think the order book is scaling up very nicely. We will scale up the order book in the coming year also, which will also give us that whatever projection we want to do, multiple extra turnover, which we did last year or this year, we should be able to start doing in the next 3 years' time. So this we will work on and look at other opportunity, how to scale the business to be a large corporate in the next 5 to 7 years. That is our ambition and vision. And this all will come out of internally developed and also with partnerships, but a lot of IP being done within data patterns. We are building the skill sets in terms of people capabilities. We're also building infrastructure and investing in infrastructure. It seems that we address these opportunities as and when it happens and be ahead of the game and, as far as possible. So we are trying to get into also this revenue model on a quarterly basis or a repeat revenue model. Give that ups and downs to reduce the up and down of the project model. We're trying to see what is the best way to do this, looking at various opportunities and strategize to see what is it we need to design on. It's a bit tougher, but we want to go in the direction also to see the smoothen cash flows and things like that and get an order book. So we are attempting to do a whole lot of things. We are happy to say that these are all work panning out the way we want. There have been some delays, but anyway, that's part of the problem with government-driven orders. We know they're going to be, so we need to have a bouquet of products to see that the delays are not affecting our scaling ambitions, revenue growth as we plan to be. We want to be a IP-driven business, as I keep telling you, not to be a top-line business. We continue to strive to be an IP-driven business. And we're looking at other opportunities
like anti-drone systems. We have a product now designed for anti-drone, both passive as well as active anti-drone, as well as jamming. So we built some products out of whatever existing products, getting to see whether we reposition these products, end applications can be large. So we're doing a lot of good things. I hope it all this, what we've done, finally goes into contract. I believe there's a need in the market. I think we're in the right direction. We're very, very enthusiastic and committed to what we're doing and excited with the opportunities is happening. And that's, I think we're going ahead. We will build a scale as we go along is what we think presently. Anyway, thank you very much for listening in, asking the questions. Please, if you have anything further, please write to Go India and we will respond to your questions one-on-one. Thank you very much again.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.